I got to get a new camera.
Hey, red lights in play, my friend. And you do need a new camera. It's got to be a little bit crisper.
Well,
fuzzy.
Something we pulled out of a desk drawer in an office. What can I tell you?
That's right.
I've got plenty of money wrapped up into my technology package that I have sitting here on this desk. Trust me.
Well, the important part of, doing good podcasting is the sound. And that the recording is like we're doing this from different parts of the country and we sound like we're in the same room. So we did get that compliment from someone. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting when you start from nothing and you try to, you know, like make a decision on a Wednesday, have a conversation. We poke around for a few days and then on Sunday, you know, we're doing it.
That's right. Now we're 150 shows into this.
A lot of fun to do. Yeah. So,
hello.
Well, just thanks for joining us. And we've noticed a serious uptick in the number of subscribers and downloads. So I appreciate that. Thank you. We appreciate it.
We appreciate that. Yeah.
Kind of fun.
So, Alpha, what's new? What have you seen in the news that's got your eye? Holy cow. What the hell's going on?
A number of things.
The pendulum is swinging.
I think people are going to have some pretty tough days that have been on the side of evil for a while. I think I'm not convinced that the great justice is coming.
Oh, no.
But I think people are going to feel a little bit uncomfortable for the crap that they've pulled over the last few years.
Well, I think we talked about this before, and I think it's important that we emphasize what happens when an injured animal is in the corner and they're on their last bit of instinct life. What happens? Become desperate and they lash out.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's what's happening, what we're seeing with the blob, the deep state, Soros, all the puppet handlers of Biden. That's what we're seeing right now, in my humble opinion.
Yes, completely agree. I see a lot of the same things happening, and a lot of people are talking about the same stuff. And I'm looking at it a little bit differently. A lot of people are talking about it on more of a macro level, how it, you know, what's going on is affecting the election, and you know, bigger picture stuff. And where I really see it is, you know, just in talking to people. Mm. Just regular people that aren't involved in politics or don't generally have a big stake in politics people are getting into politics that were just like quiet before.
So what do you think? What is your opinion? Because I'm always interested in why people are starting to notice. Why are people starting to give a damn, I guess, is the way to talk about it.
Well, I think that, you know, let's talk about it kind of in layers, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at the biggest impact to, you know, different demographics. You've got these kids that are thinking it's great that a lot of student loan stuff was evaporated. Mm-hmm. However, no matter how hard they try, they'll never be able to afford a house. Mm-hmm. And rents have gone up, exponentially over the past, you know, couple of years,
150%,
and these kids have just got, and they've just got insurmountable college debt, and they've got no hope of owning a home, and it's very difficult to get a car loan, and these kids are hitting some realities very quickly, and a lot of these kids, you see a lot of kids acting up in college because they have the opportunity and nobody cares, okay? Mm. They're just attention seeking. But then there's a generation of kids that get out of school and they hit the real world and they're like, holy shit, I have to pay. You know, look, this student loan business was great. You know, I didn't have to pay. I got deferred for a couple of months after I graduated from college. I went to school for 4 years. And now every month I got to pay somebody $800. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. And my car payment's $800. Holy shit. And my rent is $2,300. And I'm making $45,000 a year. And I'm in $200,000 worth of college debt.
Right.
Holy shit. So you get your young kids that are looking at the financial mountain that they're going to have to climb with a very bad economy, mm-hmm. with interest rates that are through the roof, right?
Yeah.
And then you got your, you know, your one step above, you know, young couples, they get married, they maybe have managed to buy a home, they want to start a family, and their home value has gone up, but they've got a little bit more equity than they might have had, but to jump into the bigger house so they can start the family, no, they're going to leave a 2.75% mortgage for a 7.75% mortgage, and what they have in equity, they're going to maybe have a down payment on the house that they need, mm-hmm. and their mortgage is, they're not saving. They're not moving into bigger for less. They're moving into bigger for much more, right? There's no, and people are starting to feel that. So people aren't starting families, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got, you know, people that are a little bit younger than us, they're watching their 401ks go away. Then you got our age bracket. We're, you know, 15 or 20 years away from retirement yet. And we're sitting there like, holy shit, financially I'm boned.
Right. You can't retire until you're 75 now.
Yeah. Right.
Because of the cost.
Everything took a hit.
I think there's something else that's missing. They come out of college, well, extremely idealistic. And I think talking about is realism. The realism comes and hits them in the head and says,
oh, reality bites, man.
Oh yeah. And when you think about it, any skills that they're learning in college, I mean, looking at it from when we went to college versus college now, mm-hmm. I don't think they're learning anything vital. I mean, I was I taught in a college. I taught graduate level courses, and they're not learning any real critical thinking skills.
Well, let me hold on to that one for a quick second.
Okay.
Hold on to that for a quick second. You had asked me what I thought about, you know, how I think people are feeling it, you know, mm-hmm. what I think is happening. Mm. People are starting to feel it is my point. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the situation, like you were saying, mm-hmm. with the younger group, with every age bracket is starting to set in. Mm. They're starting to look around and they're saying, well, shit, I can't afford this. Number one. Number two, I don't understand what's going on with all the crime, mm-hmm. and it's really bad.
It is.
And it's getting worse. And I can't understand what's going on with this immigration situation. Why are these people getting money when I am in need, or I know people that are in need? Why are they jumping the line in front of American citizens? I mean, and these are comments that I'm hearing from people.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how the idealism that was taught in the college setting, and again, this is my point. It's realism versus idealism. When you talk about the DIE agenda, when you talk about being able to problem solve, when you're able to come out thinking you're going to come out of college, you got all this debt, and I'm going to get a job that's going to be $100,000, $150,000 a year, and they're only making $45,000, and you know a college degree is a dime a dozen, used to mean something, and the skills that they're learning while they're in college, they're not getting any. They're coming out with, you know, more of an idealistic way of doing things instead of a realistic way. So getting back to my point, when I was teaching at the graduate level, it was for a specific set of skills to do healthcare.
A professional track.
Graduate level track. So that they come out and they can be licensed medical providers. And the thing that I was seeing was when you're faced with a certain patient presentation, you have to be able to approach that situation in a practical, realistic way, because mm-hmm. now you're dealing with people's lives. Mm-hmm. And you and I learn this skill, not only while we were volunteering on volunteer ambulances, fire, while we were young.
Yeah. Here's the deep end of the pool, kid.
Go ahead, jump in.
Jump in.
But we learn that critical thinking skills, not in the classroom. You don't learn that stuff in the classroom. You learn that by doing, okay? And I'm talking about the volunteer firefighters, the EMS.
Hold on one second. You also learn it through mentorship.
That's part of the job when you're with, you know, volunteer firefighters, you know, the officer in charge or the old guy that's driving the truck all the time and says, hey, you're doing it wrong, that kind of thing. But my point is, the more and more I see the work ethics, the thought process, the automatic going to the die agenda and blaming color instead of saying, how can I make my life better by changing certain things? Those are some of the contributing factors I think are going on with right now. And all the things that you mentioned before about how people are starting to say, well, I can't afford this and the rent's too high and this and that. That comes down to policy by our government, who I will say is trying to harm us. They're trying to harm us purposely to push their agenda. That's what I say.
Well, I agree with you, but the point is that people are changing the way that they're thinking, I think, on a broad scale, because they are experiencing a real hard time, because they can, you know, hey, listen, even a younger kid is not so young that he can't remember what happened 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 20-year-old kid or a 22-year-old kid getting out of college can remember he went to high school when Trump was in office, right?
Yes.
So he sat around the kitchen table. You know, the grocery bill wasn't something that was complained about. The rent wasn't something that was complained about. The car payment wasn't complained about. The mortgage interest rate wasn't complained about. The price of eggs, the price of groceries, the price of gas, this, the illegal immigration, the crime in the cities, all of this shit was not spoken about when this kid was in high school.
Correct.
And now that's all anybody's talking about, because holy shit, have things changed in 4 years or 3 years.
And for the worse. Changed for the worse. Yeah.
Well, people can see it, because it wasn't so long ago that they can't remember. We didn't skip a generation here with like a depression 40 years ago or, mm-hmm. you know, 80 years ago,
right.
or 90 years ago. When we're sitting here, when our grandparents said, well, back in the depression, we were like, oh, shut the fuck up. Give me a break, you know, whatever. It's like, no, we had great years 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are in the shit.
Correct.
And people can see it. And they're experiencing it, and they feel it.
So that goes along with my hypothesis or my thought process that experiential learning is a lot more powerful than cognitive, you know, like when you're just being told, well, this is the way it was, and you don't want to hear it. When you live it and you experience it, it's a big eye-opener, isn't it?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you were 100% right. Now the thing is this. Now we can debate the following, mm-hmm. right? Do you think this was part of some grand plan, or do you think this is just how shit worked out?
Nope, this was part of the grand plan. In my humble opinion, which is not so humble, I'll be bold now. Yes, it was part of the plan. If you look at the tea leaves, you look at the data points, you look at what happened, there were many people that were more concerned about what Trump tweeted and how he composed himself from before. When you go to now, we're in an election year, and it seems like the floor has come out from underneath all those puppet handlers and those, the blob, the deep state, because they just had, they just had their rear ends handed to them by the Supreme Court when they're trying to take Trump off the ballot in Maine and in Illinois and where was the other place? Where are they? I'm blanking. Who was the first one?
I can't remember, but
it shocks me that someone had the chutzpah to say that we're going to take him off the ballot because we don't like him. Or, he's an insurrectionist because he didn't go through due process. He was an insurrectionist. I'm talking about
because
Trump.
I said so.
Because they said, so. Exactly.
That's right.
So
that's right.
A 9-0 decision.
Well, yes, it's good. It's good for now. But, you know, the point being is there were still three kind of.
You know I'm going to give kudos to when it's due. I mean, they could have easily been the dissent and said and voted against it, but they didn't. Now, if you look at their decision, you know, and they came on board with it, but they still had to put the barb into President Trump, you know, by saying, sure. You know, we don't want to cause chaos. But so my thought is anytime you hear a statement, a sentence that says blah, 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 but blah, blah, blah. The but is the key. If you hear but, everything after is really what they think or what they feel. And everything before is just platitude and lip service to you, you know, to try to soften the blow because people don't want to be mean. Well, they're mean anyway, and I don't give a crap. Just say what it is and stop beating around the bush.
I tend to agree with you.
But, of course... Again, yeah, and if you listen to, depending on which propagandist you listen to MSNBC, CNN, blah blah blah. They're all jumping up and down and having, you know, their heads are exploding and the liberal tears are flying because they're just up. They can't believe that they were left behind, and the liberal judges didn't do their duty and everything else.
What duty would that be? I mean, come on.
What they wanted. What the deep state wanted, what the propagandist perhaps wanted.
Yeah. The judges were like, well, you know, I'm not going to blow my reputation over you. Well, no.
But if you've listened to the disrespect that's coming from these anchors and these propagandists, that's what I'm going to call them from now on, everyone. Tell us if you agree out there. I'm calling them propagandist media. That's what it is.
I'm so sick of it all. I mean, I find this, I find the entire news cycle over the last 2 months absolutely galling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point of, like, anger. I'm angry. Well, not, like, ragey or, you know, mm-hmm. dangerous angry. Just, it's very upsetting to see what the American people are being fed.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, everything is fine, the border's secure, and you got Mayorkas in there, and they impeached his ass because he's a lying sack of shit. Everybody exactly. knows he's lying. You and I have said it a million times. We know you're lying. You know you're lying. We know you know you're lying. We all know you're lying. So stop it.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not stopping. He's continuing. He's doubling down on stupid, which is
well. The point is this. The point is this. What's been going on the past several, well, the past 3 years in this country is absolutely has been completely preventable.
Mm-hmm.
The influx of illegal migrants or illegal aliens into this country is really a big frickin' problem that nobody really wants to admit.
Hmm.
I mean, Trump and people are making hay on it, you know, politics wise, but put away the politics for just a minute. You know, we talked about this, you know, the other day you and I talked about it, or did we talk about it when we recorded last time? I can't remember.
Well, last time we recorded.
We did talk about it. Well, you haven't seen Danger yet.
Danger, Will Robinson, Danger.
Well, again, you know, think about it for just a minute. You've imported, you know, 8 million people into this country over the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
They have court dates that are between 3 and 7 years off.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, everybody's going to lose the appetite to give you any more money because the public outrage is going to grow so loud, like it has in New York, like it has in Chicago. You're going to have a real serious problem on your hands.
Sure.
okay, you're going to have the citizenry really pissed off at you, number one. Number two, what's going to wind up happening is you've got 8 million people that are kind of caught in limbo that can't work, have no exterior means of support, can't travel, can't do anything, and they're not getting any more aid or assistance. They're just kind of cast out to, you know, fend for themselves in the country illegally. Mm-hmm. What do you think's going to happen? They can't work.
Well, there's some reports out there to say that all of these military-aged men, not families, I'm talking military-aged men, and we're starting to see the violence pick up. You talked about that in the beginning of today's discussion. I'm concerned that you're going to start seeing the activation from the blob saying, all right, it's time to put the fear back into people to put them back to sleep. And there's not an appetite for that at all. But yeah, that's what I think.
I can't discount what you're thinking. I think it's possible. I just don't see the upside to the people that want to cause us harm to do that, because it would just be, you know, it would be undeniable at a certain point that these are the people that you brought into the country to cause these problems. Holy shit, we're going to vote for the guy who's going to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. So I see it as a bit counterproductive. However, you know, they're desperate, so I can't discount what you're saying.
Right. So I, like I said, they're that animal in the corner that's dying and it's going to lash out and take you out or try to take it out with you. Or, you know, what does someone drowning do? They try to take you down with them. So
yeah,
that's something that is going to have to be carefully observed and watched, and we'll talk about it. I think is good news today is the fact that Super Tuesday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
already
Nikki Haley did not do any ad buys today at all. And I'm waiting to see how bad the blowout's going to be tomorrow.
She did no ad buys?
No ad buys today.
That is a sign.
A big sign. Yep.
Yep. That is a sign.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. You can take your 600 vote win from Washington, D.C. and, you know, pretty much go pack it in your ass, honey. Go on.
So yeah. I think Washington, D.C., I mean, I think Trump only got 636
votes. Yeah, well, she got like 1,200 votes, and it was like 700 Democrats voted for her. So.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that an open primary?
Yes.
Okay, well, to have an open primary with only like, what, 1,800 people show up to vote?
Right.
What does that tell you?
Well, again, they're going to try and spin it, but I think there's one delegate at stake in D.C.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also firmly believe any open primary where Democrats can cross over and vote, I think that's not what the true meaning of a primary should be functioning as such, because it's you're trying to vote for the representative of your party, and you're not looking for interference from the other side to have them put in who they think they can beat. It's not, and to me, these open primaries were done on purpose to foul up the primary, you know, to put the best candidate up front on the ticket.
Well, I know an awful lot of Republicans that switched their party affiliation for the primary here in Maryland to vote for Kennedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's getting like 20%, I think, right now. 20-30%.
Oof, really?
But Biden, you know, here's the other problem too. And this is why I think people are just they're really putting their hands up in the air and saying this isn't what we wanted. And from the decision, from that 9-0 decision, again, we're not lawyers, but we do a lot of observation here. It's not for a small group of people to decide who we should be voting for. This is not a selection, although this is the way the votes have gone in the past. This is an election. This is the will of the people. to watch the Democrats subdue Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., to subdue him like they are doing is unconscionable. Because they want Biden in there so they can control who goes up against Trump, and they're going to try to do a switch batter in there. In my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you why they're subduing or suppressing Kennedy so much.
Because he could actually.
Well, God forbid that, as far as they're concerned, God forbid that he gets elected, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think that man's going to do to the intelligence community? Holy shit, talk about a vendetta.
Axe to grind.
Yeah, kind of killed his dad. Kind of killed his uncle, too.
And every bit of paperwork is going to come out on that one.
Oh, shit.
So I think that's the motivation behind the pushing down on Robert F. Kennedy, just saying, you're not coming out. No way. Go away. It's disgusting. I mean, well, you can't have...
He won't play their game.
What's that?
He won't play their game.
No. And he's a full blown environment nut job. I mean, he thinks that humans are causing global warming and all this other stuff. I don't agree with him on that, but I did agree on what he did with Fauci and the indictment that he wrote in the form of his book, which we talked about in an earlier show, which I thought was fantastic.
I like him on one issue. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, remember, he's still a far left Democrat.
That's correct. I don't think he should run. I think he should try. He should go up against Biden.
I think anybody, I think people should have the choice. Who do you want to vote for? What idealism do you want to go get behind? Who do you think's got the best plan to move the country forward?
Right. Because right now we've been going backwards for the last 4 years. And the only person that stopped it was President Trump in 2016. He stopped that whole plan that Obama wanted two other terms with from the basement, that shadow presidency where he was in the basement.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I firmly believe that Obama's calling the shots. He's using Joe Biden as a foil. Because nobody likes Joe Biden anyways. Nobody ever liked Joe Biden. They always patted Joe Biden on the back. He's a useful idiot. And at some point, what happens to the useful idiot? The useful idiot gets kneecapped.
And they're doing it right now.
Well, they're going to throw him to the wolves. They're going to let some prosecution activity go forward on him if he doesn't bail out.
And I think Biden is dumb enough not to bail out.
I don't think that man has control of all of his mental faculties. I don't think he can make a sound decision.
Nope.
I think the people that are handling him will make his decisions for him, which is absolutely terrifying to me.
I agree with that.
The man doesn't go anywhere without a piece of paper in his hand telling him exactly what to say.
Because he can't remember what he's supposed to say. He
can't remember anything. This is who's in charge of our country, people.
Unbelievable.
No, it's totally believable.
Well, I mean, if you asked me 20 years ago, I still wouldn't believe it. But
20 years ago, I was in favor of invading Iraq and just going to kick the shit out of anybody. And after careful consideration, I think that was a huge mistake, too. So things do change over time, my friend. Things do change over time, don't they? Your perspective changes, right?
That is true. That is true. So I wanted to talk about the article you sent me from CNN.
That one.
We do check the other side, although it makes me nauseous whenever I read this stuff. CNN.
How did this ever get published?
That is a good question, because in the article titled Georgia Defense Attorney Subpoenaed to Appear Before State Committee Investigators, the Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. And this is from Nick Valencia, Jason Morris, and Zachary Cohen with some help from AI. Just kidding. Not. The way the writing is just horrendous. So basically, Fannie Willis is getting called to the carpet from the state Georgia State investigators. I think
the Georgia Senate.
Georgia Senate says we're doing our control of the branches here, and we're going to check where you put all this funding to.
Well, they've got Trump's defense attorney subpoenaed to testify and to give testimony on everything that she's found that was entered into evidence that was borne out to be true. Maxwell.
Yep.
I believe her name is. And is that her name?
Yeah. Let me check.
Check her name. And I also sent you another article that I want you to.
Attorney Ashley Merchant.
Ashley Merchant. Pardon me. Ashley
Merchant. Speaks during a hearing.
Yes.
Fulton County Courthouse on February 15th. So she was the one that was, Ashley Merchant's the defense attorney of one of President Trump's team members that were being brought up on this, what do they call it?
RICO.
RICO. Yeah, that's right. They're trying to make all of them RICO conspirators, like the mob, when the Democrats are acting like the mob, really.
Well, right. Yeah, so Ashley Merchant is being hauled up Wednesday in front of the Georgia State Judiciary Committee,
the Senate. Which is before the decision that's coming out from the judge that heard all this evidence, and he's supposed to come out with his decision in 2 weeks. Just
a little birdie tells me that decision's already in the can. Hmm. Somebody with some insight and maybe some experience in this area. A really smart individual said, that decision was already written. And there's something going on where he's a nominee. The judge is also a political person, and he's going to hold off until after his nomination process or some shit like that before he lets go with his decision as well. So he's timing it around his election activity, too. Don't make any mistake.
Because Super Tuesday, Georgia, they vote tomorrow, don't they? Georgia's part of Super Tuesday.
Yeah, but there's something going on with this judge politically, and he's holding off for a couple of weeks. My thought process was he's holding off for a couple of weeks because he's going to paper this gal up proper, and everybody involved is going to get written into this decision, like painting them not in a good way and to make the bar referrals and to start some disciplinary stuff, and maybe the state will pick up on some criminal charges. Mm-hmm. And he was going to nut it up real good and take 2 weeks. And somebody that I pay a lot of attention to said, nah, decision's already written. This guy's got a politics thing going on, and he's just going to wait. I'm inclined to believe my very close friend on that one with the background.
Okay.
However, my gut's telling me that he's going to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed on his decision, and he's going to write them up good and proper.
Good and proper.
Because I think they're in deep shit.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're in real deep shit.
Well.
And now check the second article I just sent you over our communications program. It's the same idea.
All right.
And this person was telling me all about this earlier today as well. And I was like, huh, that's great insight. Well, maybe insight. Maybe somebody was reading an article.
New York Post. I think
yes, the New York Post article. Read it. Go ahead. Everybody, what it's all about.
So Fannie Willis warned Nathan Wade's lawyer to stay quiet about affair. Court filing claims. Oh, my God.
They're
coming after us. Okay, so my rule is I go all the way to the end of the article. That's where
the last paragraph.
The last paragraph is really the information. So let me just see here. There's pictures and there's all kinds of ads you got to work through here. Oh, my God. I forgot to check who this is from. Where is this from? CNN? Oh, it's a New York Post. I'm sorry.
It's a New York Post article. Yep. That's right. Let's give some vital statistics about the article while we're quoting it.
Yeah, because I'm going to the end of the article. This is the only place I
understand.
All right. So here's where the end of the article is.
This article is by Ben Kochman and
say it again. Jack, you broke up.
Okay. This was published. This was by Ken Kochman and Jack Morfitt. Okay. That's the byline. The headline: Fannie Willis warned Nathan Wade's lawyer to stay quiet about affair. Court filing claims they're coming after us.
All right. This is the end of the paragraph. This is where I think the meat and potatoes are, right? Because the end of their article, that's what you're supposed to do. Go to the end of the article. Willis's office has argued that Bradley, who testified that he claims about Wade and Willis were speculation and an unreliable witness who had every motive to lie, after he left Wade's law practice under suspicion of sexual assault. Judge Scott McAfee has said he hopes to rule on whether Willis can stay on the case in the next 2 weeks. It was not immediately clear Monday whether the court would reopen the hearing to receive additional evidence. Reps for Willis's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
Well, there's a lot more to it, but
yeah. So that's the end of the article, but what you get the gist of what's going on.
Well, they're just wrapping up the lawyer that Wade's lawyer. Mm-hmm.
So my, bad. You know, again, that's the end of the article. I always read the end and then go back to the top. Now,
the point is that the point is he committed perjury too.
Yes, and he wanted to spill the beans on his old partner, you know, Nathan Wade. And Willis is now pointing her finger, not taking responsibility for her actions, but blaming everyone else for doing something wrong, and she had nothing to do with it. Do you see the difference now? Why it's so important that you do some introspective thinking and being mindful of what you're doing and not lash out to anyone else, because that to me shows she's not introspective at all. And she blames everyone else for her problems, for her actions that she was so arrogant that she could get away with.
Well, apparently the rules didn't apply to her, right?
Oh yeah. That's that too. Definitely.
Well, this whole story is that Wade's lawyer got up and perjured himself. He knew that he testified earlier, or his client testified earlier about the relationship being sooner. They caught this guy in a lie, suborning perjury. This is a shit show.
Well, the biggest takeaway is the 31 pages of text messages that came out of this, supporting the fact that he knew that they were romantically involved back in 2018. Now, for Fannie to get up there and start lying her ass off in the middle of a courtroom, you've got to be nuts. I mean, and because she's a prosecutor, she has a higher ethical responsibility, right?
Well, she's got a much larger penalty should she decide that she wants to commit perjury. Okay. Exactly. She could lose her law license,
mm-hmm.
which I certainly think she's on trajectory to do, along with Nathan Wade, along with Nathan Wade's attorney,
mm-hmm.
because they all committed perjury in the court and in a very high profile case, and, you know, in a conspiracy to defraud the taxpayer. They lied to get money.
And they took vacations and stuff that didn't belong in the vacation slot. They should never have done it.
I wonder when the IRS is going to catch up with them for this shit. Yeah. I would fear, you know, look, I don't really love talking about the IRS, and there are people out there that are listening that don't want to hear about the IRS. I get that. But those motherfuckers will eventually come after their pound of flesh from these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they already had a tax lien out against her.
Oh, that was just a $5,000. That was nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Wait till she gets this one. 700 grand. How are you going to categorize that as income, right?
Oh.
Oof. Oof.
Kind of makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Ugh.
God. Yeah, it's okay. She's a Democrat. She doesn't have to file taxes.
No, of course not. Although, I don't think there's anyone that's going to kick this one under the rug.
Too much air and light, my friend. Too much air and light.
Well, how do you get rid of the cockroaches? Turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on, or light the house on fire and watch them run. Exactly. Well, I think somebody lit the house on fire personally.
Yeah. Yep. So, tomorrow being Super Tuesday, let me do a quick check here. There's a whole bunch of states. North Carolina, Georgia, a bunch of others that are having, let me see. Let's see. So CBS has, you know, these search engines always come up with CBS first. Oh my God.
Super Tuesday.
So on Super Tuesday, who votes on Super Tuesday? We'll go to CBS News because they're just so trustworthy, aren't they? And even when you read the article, which states vote on Super Tuesday and list of votes tomorrow and how many delegates are at stake. And then they have, of course, they didn't picture what's her nuts, Haley there. She's done. So we have Republicans. Nomination contest in 15 states. Democrats also have 15 states and one territory on Super Tuesday. So we have Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia. Democrats pretty much was Maine. There's caucuses in Alaska and Utah. And then the primary system is not really working well on the Democrat side, I don't think. Because it seems that they're just going full-fledged Biden. There's no choice.
Well, there's no choice. There's nobody else on the ballot.
And I don't think that... I think despite RFK trying to get on the ballot, he couldn't do it. So right now, the delegate total... You have 276 delegates for Donald Trump, 24 delegates for Nikki Haley, and 9 delegates to Ron DeSantis. And you need 1,215 delegates to secure the nomination. I think after tomorrow, Trump will have it.
Let's hope so.
Now, there is someone running against Joe Biden. Excuse me. Although he has no delegates, Dean Phillips, who's a congressman.
He pulls good percentages when he runs in certain areas.
He does, but they're not giving him any credit for what he's doing. And Joe Biden is going to run away with it because...
So, tell me, is this guy a lunatic or is he okay?
Who, Dean Phillips? He sounds reasonable when I listen to him.
Still a Democrat, though.
Still Democrat. But he's trying to be the moderate one, the old blue dog ones. Remember the old days?
The good old days.
The good old days.
I'm old enough to remember the good old days, but I'm not old enough to have forgotten it.
Right. Exactly. But the polling, I was listening to some of the polling. So I like to get Barris's poll. He's the most, down to earth pollster out there, yeah. Followed by, what's the other one? I don't remember. But, you know, because they're putting out there right now, Sienna's poll and all the other ones that they're trying to say that, you know, Biden is very close to President Trump. When in reality, Barris says, no way. you know,
what's his number? I mean, what's it look like?
So let me just pull that up real quick.
Well, let's all keep in mind for a quick minute that I don't think polls mean very much.
No, but I think some of the questions that they're asking.
Sure.
Like, how would you rate? Let me just see here. People's Pundit. That's who does it. Mm-hmm. Rich Barris. That's his name. He's got a big paywall. I can't get behind it.
Yeah, well, forget about
it. All right, anyway.
I've heard anywhere from 12 to 15% nationwide in some optimistic polling.
You mean how far Trump's ahead of Biden? Yeah. So they're also asking questions, you know, who handles the economy better?
Yes.
Who handles, you know, the immigration idea better? That kind of stuff. And Trump is running
exactly
right now.
Exactly what we talked about in the beginning of how what's going on right now is impacting people. They're asking, you know, the questions that are impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting answers.
Right. And they're talking about gasoline prices, talking about the safety issues, they're talking about buying a house. The debt, yeah. Like we started out in the beginning of the conversation.
Oh, gee, how about that, huh? All the key indicators of a good economy are not looking so great.
That's correct. So,
hold on a second. Okay. And those key indicators aren't given to you by some unknown economist, you know, on some TV wearing a bow tie. All right.
Right.
That's working, Joe. Going to Wegmans, going, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, how come I can walk into a grocery store and drop $300 when I used to be able to drop $100?
Yeah,
really? I mean, let's think about this from a practical point of view. How come gas is three something a gallon, four something a gallon in some places? Diesel's through the roof.
Everything's through the roof, man.
And you have local governments and state governments all saying, oh, everything's fine. Don't worry. Nothing to see here. And that's what they're doing. They're gaslighting like I've never seen before.
Well, hold on a second. Now, let's just back up the conversation for just a minute, right? Just mm-hmm. hold on a second. I just thought of something when you were saying that. Okay. So I was listening to something today. I can't even remember what it was. Today was just a weird day. I heard a number that just absolutely annihilated my brain cells.
Mm.
That New York City is going to wind up spending $2.6 billion on this immigrant problem that they have.
That they shot themselves in the foot with.
Yes. $2.6 billion. Let me put that into perspective for you, right? Mm-hmm. What is the number one cost driver in every community? Just as a question. What's the number
Medicaid,
one cost
well, driver? If you look at your property taxes, you look at it's Medicaid, health care. No, really?
Yeah. Like, how much of your county's budget goes to run the school system? A good bit of it, right?
No. Well, it depends on what state you're in. Like for upstate New York, you have school taxes that are separate from the county taxes. So when you talk about what are you talking about schools, which is the bigger percentage of town taxes? I'm
talking about as a percentage of the budget.
All right. So
It's an extraordinarily high cost.
The tax bill is higher when you have property taxes or rent, which reflects property taxes and school taxes. That's what the landlord's going to throw in there in your bill.
Yes.
Yes, the bigger percentage is school. Correct.
Right. Okay. So schools are a seriously heavy burden on the municipal budgets, right?
Well, the second of Medicaid, county Medicaid charges.
Right. The schools are just tremendous. It's like half. All right. So I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, right? Mm-hmm. And the county budget is $6 billion. Any guess what the school budget is?
You said it was like billions, tens of billions.
Oh yeah, it's 3 billion. 3 frickin' billion dollars to run 212 schools to teach 168,000 children.
So we were talking about how money is being diverted from one place to, you know, like paybacks and things like that.
Just let me finish. Let me finish because it all goes back to what I was saying about New York City. New York City is about to go in the donut hole, $2.6 billion on this bullshit, on this immigration nonsense that they caused themselves. You take a school district like Montgomery County, Maryland, you know, $2.6 billion, $3 billion, you know, what's $400 million between friends, right? Why don't we put that into perspective for everybody sitting around the living room? Why don't we just go ahead and take the services away from 168,000 children? Mm. Because that's exactly what you just did. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah.
It's almost like what they pissed away on the problem they created would have operated an entire school system to teach 150,000 children a year.
And actually do something good with it.
Exactly. All for optics and gaslighting and virtue signal bullshit.
Yes. With all the wrong priorities. All the wrong priorities, right?
There was no altruism in anything that these people did. They thought that they would look great on film at 11 on Fox News saying, yeah, we're not racist like you Trump MAGA people. You can just come to Chicago and New York and L.A. No problem, Minneapolis. No problem. It's all good. Come on in. And wouldn't you know it, they showed up. And now they're like, shit, what do we do? They're not useful anymore. These immigrants aren't useful anymore. The optics are starting to look bad. Mm-hmm. The useful idiots are about ready to get cast loose into society. And I'm not saying that these people are idiots. I'm saying that the left treats these people like they're useful idiots. The communists always do this. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to unleash them on the world and they're going to turn their back and say, oh, you damn Republicans, you just won't turn them into citizens to get them jobs. That's the next goddamn thing that's going to happen.
That's right. I agree. Yep. I agree 100%, my friend. This is absolutely nuts.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely nuts. And this is where the gaslighting meets. Was it that unstoppable force or immovable object?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The immovable object is the people and the citizens that are living here in America that expect our government to take care of the things they're supposed to take care of. They're not even meeting my expectations for what a government should be doing. And this unstoppable force being the illegal aliens that all decided to come on in because Biden had crappy policy to begin with to allow him here and invite him here in the first place. Quick, one other thing, Alpha, before we run out of here, because we're at the 55-minute mark.
Oh, hold on 1 second. No, that's all fine. Right. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
Hold on 1 second.
All right.
I don't care about the 55.
All right. Mark. I'm just.
I don't care.
All right.
Keep going. That's fine. Let's pull on the thread a little bit.
All right.
They're going to put the next president in a real tough situation with what they've done.
Oh, definitely. They overloaded the system.
Yes, they overloaded the system. Correct.
What was that guy's name that Clinton loved so much? The commies that came up with their overwhelm the system and then
Flower Piven.
Flower Piven. There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly that's exactly what they've done. Okay. Right. That's a situation that actually can be fixed, right? Mm. But nobody's going to like how this has to get fixed. And unfortunately, how it's going to have to get fixed, and Donald Trump has already said it, is we're going to have massive deportations.
Yes.
Here comes the other issue. These people came from countries that don't want them back.
That's right, because they emptied out their loony bins and their prisons.
Yep.
And
yep. They hit the reset button and said, send them to Biden. He wants them all. Give them to him.
So what are you going to do? You're going to just drop them in their place and let them have them back.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. The military is going to show up with a military aircraft, and they're going to parachute them back into their country.
Oh, come on. They're all going to. That's too expensive, man. Too expensive. Those parachutes are really super expensive.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to go the cheap way. We're not going to use parachutes. We're going to land the plane and we're going to walk them off the back ramp, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you deport 8.5 million people, 9 million people? I mean, by the time the election happens, there'll be another 1.5 to 2 million people here.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of them all? What do you do?
Put them on a ship. Right? I mean, I don't know. It's got to happen because they didn't belong here in the first place.
Oh, can you just imagine the screaming that's going to happen when all that shit starts?
Oh, yeah. But people are going to be so sick and tired of it, they don't care.
Yeah, you're still going to have a loud minority.
I know. Squeaky wheel gets grease. I get it. But
just remember, the Spanish said the same thing, and then they got Franco.
Mm.
And then when Franco started doing Franco shit, everyone's like, wow, we got Franco. Holy shit, what do we do now? Yeah.
Who's Franco?
Look it up.
All right.
That's your homework assignment.
That's my homework assignment for next time.
My point is this. I see a no-win situation for whoever sits in the White House in the next 4 years. The next 4 years are going to be very difficult to bear through for both sides of the aisle for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because us people on the right sure aren't going to get everything we want, you know, and the people on the left are just going to sit there and kick and scream. It's going to get really nasty, man. We've hit a point, I think, in this country where it's gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And getting it back, I think, is your homework assignment is to learn about Franco.
Spain? Franco?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. That Franco.
All right.
Yeah. Killed all the communists. Oh. Yeah, and then he started killing a lot of other people too. So we got to be really super careful. But
well, I'm not talking about killing anyone. I'm talking about deporting. There's the difference.
Well, I get that. So one last news item. Did you see where our vice president called for the immediate ceasefire in Gaza?
Oh, she can ask all she wants. Israel's not going to listen to him. Look, we haven't talked about Israel in a while, but I'm telling you, the reports I'm hearing, and the spin that people are trying to put on there to cause, you know, ceasefires in Gaza, and the propaganda that the mainstream media is putting out there about the number of dead in Gaza when they can't leave and get out of the way when Israel's coming to clear out command and control, and trying to deal with the horrors that happened on October 7th, 2023. They made their bed. Now they're going to lay in it. That's my opinion. They have a bad bunch of actors that are running their show, their little fiefdom over there. Israel's not going to let them keep it anymore. And Israel's going to be a permanent force in the Gaza Strip now going forward, because they can't be trusted.
I agree. One last news item. No, that's well said. One last news item. So apparently now the CDC's best advice about COVID is treat it like the flu.
Didn't we just say that, for crying out loud? Yes.
They trashed everybody's life over something that nothing has changed from then to now. Now we're treating it like a flu.
Didn't we say that? Didn't we
say that? Everybody out there, you know.
Jeez, jeez.
We were right the entire time.
Yeah, go to signal50.com. Check out the report that we wrote. I'll try to get it published again. Who knows? One other thing I want to talk about. Update on my getting my leasing my Second Amendment rights back.
Oh, shit.
So I'm waiting to start the class August 6th. It's a weekend, and I have to do a practical. I have to actually go and demonstrate that I won't hurt anybody with, you know, and hit a target. And then I have to, there's other documents that I have to bring once I get, I bring the receipt with me. I bring the certificates.
You have to wait till August to take your class?
April. Sorry.
April. Okay. Yeah. April. Okay. Still, though, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. And then I have to do a demonstration, and the four witnesses or the four references that tell me that I have good moral character and that I can be trustworthy. I'm gathering that information right now, and I have to get their signature on the document in ink. It can't be, you know, handwritten. It can't be authorized. You have to have them sign the document. The application.
It's a big pain in the ass. And they got rid of the good moral standing clause as unconstitutional. They're still making you do it.
Yeah, that's right. It's on the application. I have to do it. Well, that's the latest with my Bravo wants a gun permit. So here you go.
We're gonna do an entire program dedicated to firearm self-defense, choosing a firearm, firearm safety, how to go find training, what to do, what not to do. We're gonna do a discussion about that one of these days soon.
Yeah, like I said, the reason why I'm doing this is I want to share my experiences. Sure. And again, just to go through a background, when I was growing up, guns were not allowed in my house. Couldn't even have a toy gun. Okay, you and I have been friends forever. We were in middle school together. Yeah. You took me shooting for the first time. You taught me everything about gun safety. That has come in handy when I went with other friends to the range, and I knew how to clear, both rifles, shotguns, and how to clear a handgun.
That's right.
And people were impressed. They said, where'd you learn how to do that? I said, well, my friend taught me. So,
it's a life skill. It is a life skill. You know, look, I know you want to get going because we're over time, but
that's all right. I don't want to bore our audience either. So,
Well, they can either drop, put us on pause, listen later. We're here for us, right? Yeah,
that's true.
I think it's really important that I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, and I don't care if you got a gun in your house or you don't got a gun in your house. I don't care. That's a personal choice. I've never had a problem with people who have decided that firearms weren't for them, and that's perfectly fine. What I would tell you is I think that no matter how you feel about firearms in general, owning them, not owning them, you know, pro, con, I don't care. I think it's a critical thing to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a critical thing to know how to render them safe.
Mm-hmm.
I know, the basic rules of gun safety, you know, the four rules. I think those things and I don't care if you like guns or you don't like guns, that gun on the ground or that gun near the child or this, that, or the other thing doesn't care about your feelings. If you need to make a situation safe, it's stop about the feelings. Okay. We need to have skills as people. We can argue the finer points of nuance later, but I think it's really important that everybody, and whether you own a gun, don't own a gun, take a gun safety course for God's sake. I think it's a very important thing for people to understand. Don't mm-hmm. you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, don't you think that people in the medical profession should study some of this stuff to understand, you know, what they could be dealing with on the street? They never taught you any of that shit.
No.
And I mean, like the, you know, this is the gun that shoots that bullet that is on the X-ray, or this is what these different bullets look like. This is what they do. This is the physics of it. They don't teach anybody any of this stuff.
They do talk about it in trauma classes, you know, the shockwave, the cavitation that causes the space behind, entrance wounds, exit wounds. I mean, and I've treated patients with gunshot wounds in the past as you know, simple as, you know, in the leg and they're fine, and, or the ones that hit the femoral triangle and they're not with us anymore.
Oh.
And how many times have I, you know, called you and said, what kind of caliber, what kind of injury do I have to expect, you know, from this type of bullet? You can name the bullet. You told me everything.
You sent me the one in the pelvic triangle, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's devastating.
Yeah.
That's over.
And you know what the funny thing, and it's not funny, but the sad thing is I thought I could stop the bleeding until I put my finger in there and almost got cut because, you know.
Oh, there's sharp shit all over. And
there's everything was sharp. Bone fragments, bullets, everything. It was a mess.
That was a 170 grain, 30 caliber slug.
Mm.
At close range. Contact distance.
Mm.
Oof.
It was terrible. And then the other things that go with it. However, they're important tools that you should have a very good understanding of, and that's what I'm trying to do. And target practice is a fun thing to do on the weekend with your friends.
And there's no shame in saying that, you know, you're prepared to defend yourself should the need arise also. You know, right. that's what the Second Amendment is all about, really. Quite honestly, target shooting is fun. Look, I've shot in some big money tournaments in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done pretty well. Not, you know, I'm not on the prize table every time I shoot in a match, okay? But I go out there, I have a great time for a guy my age who does not do that for a living. I'm very respectable at it. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more enjoyable than going out shooting the bullshit with some friends and being safe on a range somewhere in a sand pit, shooting at bottles and cans and steel plates and shit like that. There's nothing more fun than that. It's a lot of fun.
So
nothing wrong with it.
That's why I'm doing it. Anyway.
Good for you. Well,
here we are.
By the way, Firefighter Brown's funeral was today. I did not attend, but I did watch it on the live stream. It was very, very, very impressive.
Hmm.
Very impressive. The Loudoun County Fire Association, they deserve a lot. They did him justice. It was mm-hmm. very nice.
Well, with him and his family, I wish may God give them the strength to get through this difficult time, and his memory will live on through his family and the co-workers and the firefighters that worked with him and all the other firefighters that were injured and are still recovering. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we've donated to your cause, so keep that in mind. I'm at Bravo Golf 592 on Getter and in True Social. You can also follow us on X at Signal 50 Podcast. We thank you so much for listening. And if you can, please subscribe, share our show a little bit. And we're just two lifelong friends that have a telephone conversation and love to talk about all kinds of things.
Yes.
You get to thank the gang there, my friend.
Well, we'd like to thank our soldiers, sailors, and airmen for protecting us 24/7, 365, no matter where you are. Please be careful out there and know that we're thinking about you, and our police, fire, and EMS that work with us every day out on the streets. Please be careful. Your only job is to go home to your family.
Amen.
Be very careful.
So that's it, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time on the Signal 50 Podcast.